Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. How are you feeling this morning after last night? Lots to delve into in relation to Scott bid. Madrid in for Fernandes, according to Romano. Tonali still on the market. Will we push for Lewis Hall? But what's your thoughts on the Anderson stuff? I mean, we do have to move on because we are moving on. But is it time to bid or is it time for bed? For Manchester United, are we going to sleep on this transfer window? Are we actually going to move in this transfer window? Because I do feel that this morning, United need to move. They've absolutely dropped the ball when it comes down to it. And look, I don't have a lot to add to Anderson other than what I said last night, but this is what Ben Jacobs said. Man United viewed Anderson as a dream target, but they won't get sucked into a bidding war, especially without player buy-in first. The cost of the deal plus a feeling Anderson favours City mean Man United are advancing on other targets as of now. Fernandes remains one to watch with talks underway on player side. Bournemouth will speak to Scott further on his future and they value him at 80 million. Baleba is on Man United's list as well. And look, I think that would you take Scott and Fernandes over Anderson? That seems to be a bit of a question, but Anderson and Edison never would have been enough anyway. So why are we creating... I just want to drop a couple of things before we delve into the news. Why are we creating get-out clauses for an ownership that has consistently let us down? I'm seeing people going, I'd rather get Scott and Fernandes than Anderson, but we get Anderson and someone else anyway. Where is that scenario coming from? Why is it Edison and Anderson or Edison, Fernandes and Scott? That wouldn't be the thing. It would be Anderson, Edison, and another one anyway. But a balanced opinion might be that. But my point still remains, right? The self-entitlement of this board and this football club is on a different scale. Like, to think that... To allow people like Ben Jacobs and David Dornstein and Fabrizio Romano, good journalists, to put it out there that will only go for players... if there's no bidding war and they say they want us first. That to me is incredible. Because if you ask the 10 top players in the world to come to Man United, they'd say why? Because they won't be walking around in Man United pyjamas with a Man United coffee mug. They'll be going, why do I come to Man United? I'm one of the best players in the world. Why do I come here? Persuade me. Tell me the project. Tell me the wage. Tell me why it's a move for me. Why are Man United... why do they think so little of you as a fan base that they think they can go, we're not bidding for players unless they say they want to come to our club? Who do we think we are? I don't think maybe Real Madrid can do that, but we can't do that. We've never really been able to do that. You have to persuade people. And the fact that this board think that that's a way to do transfers is embarrassing. We're only going to bid for people if they say they want to come to Man United. We're not doing bidding wars. Well, I'm sorry. If you don't bid for the best, you won't win things. So, look, that's my stance on it. We do need to move on, but I think it's embarrassing. And when you look at Ben Jacobs' update that Man United won't bid because they think Anderson wants to go to Man City, why does he want to go to Man City? Are we not going to... is there not going to be some sort of feedback or analysis or report on why he wants to go to Man City over Man United? Because that, to me, if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe, would be compelling information. Why is Elliot Anderson choosing Man City over Man United? All right, I understand we're walking away because he doesn't want to come and we're not getting in a bidding war, but why has he chose Man City over us, Omar? Jason, before we move on, why has he chose Man City over us? I'm really intrigued as to why he's choosing Man City over Man United. Yeah, we can put the bullshit out there that, you know, we're not getting in a bidding war, but why has he chosen them over us? That's something that needs analysing as well. But look, we move on. Let's talk about, look, I think what we do have to do, and I think we're all in agreement here, is we are, it's either bid time or bedtime. Like I say, if we snooze, we lose on this. We are fast approaching a Belaba signing, and that to me is criminal and failure. So, you know, it's another one off the list, isn't it, with Anderson? It looks like with Tonali, he's off the list. So that's two down, three to go. Tchouaméni, Fernandes and Scott. And if we miss out on one more of them, we're heading towards Belaba. So time is running out, which is incredible to say on the 11th of June, but we can't dictate the clock. And don't listen to the morons who think they can. You can't just say it's the 11th of June. The date is relevant in the sense of when the window closes. But if all the midfielders have gone by the end of June, you can't just say, well, it's only the end of June. The transfer window's only been open for 2 weeks. Yeah, all the targets have gone, you knobhead. So we have to look at what we want and where they're going. We've basically dismissed Anderson after 9 months of saying he's our dream. We've dismissed that. We're dismissing Tonali because we don't want to pay. So we're basically down to Fernandes, Scott, and maybe Tchouaméni. Now, the interesting one for me is Scott. We'll come to him in a minute. But very interesting update around, concerning update, in a sense, in relation to Fernandes, because it came out from Fabrizio Romano last night. Mateus Fernandes was one of the names discussed in the meeting between Mourinho and Real Madrid yesterday. His price is 85 million. Man United also interested and have already spoken to Jorge Mendes, who is the agent. So I think that I don't believe Madrid will go for Real Madrid. That could be a really bad take. I just don't think they will. But the issue is going to be, we clearly like Fernandes, and I do not believe that he is the Casemiro replacement. I think it's incredible to try and say that, you know, is he 20? How old is he? 22, 21? Let me just double check. He should be the second midfielder. He should not be. Yeah, he's 21. He's 22 next month. He can't be the Casemiro replacement. To me, that's just madness. So we're going to move on Fernandes. And the funny thing is, well, it's not funny. It's actually quite depressing. The funny thing is, people are saying, well, don't pay £120 million for Anderson. Just go for Fernandes, who could cost 85. Yeah, but it's not 100 million. It's still massively overpriced. I mean, Anderson at 120 million is 20 million overpriced. Fernandes at 80 million is 20 million overpriced. It's the same thing. I don't know how people's brains work. Fernandes is currently 20 million overpriced, and so is Anderson. Yeah, but it's cheaper. Well, no, everybody has a justifiable price, and then there's the overprice. I mean, justifiably, Fernandes is probably 60, 55 million, and they want 80, 85. So he's overpriced by 20 million. Anderson is 100 million, and they want 120. So he's over. They're both overpriced. And Anderson's a bit older, and he's a bit better. But look, forget Anderson. The point is Fernandes. The concerning thing is we need to move. We need to move because we cannot end up with Belaba. That, I think Belaba is the definition. I know, and to be fair to Belaba, so is Tyler Adams. There are a couple of others as well. I think Tyler Adams, Belaba, are a definition of failure in the market. They're not. And look, you might like Belaba. You might be Keel Robinson FC. If you know, you know. You might be, you know, you might like Tyler Adams as well. But the point is, they are players that are, without doubt, plan F, G and H. So it's a failure. I don't care whether it's Ampadu, who he signed the new contract. These players are not top five. So if we end up at that area, we've failed big time. So we've now got a little bit of pressure. It's not panic stations. It's not crisis time. It's time to bid, not time to bed. We've got to clearly, and people are right saying Fernandes and Scott. I mean, we can analyse those two people, but we almost have to get one of them really quickly. I personally don't think Anderson, I mean, let me know your thoughts, whether you're watching live or not. personally don't think at the start of this summer transfer window we'd have been all jumping around naked in our gardens. Well, wear some pants or trunks. I don't think we'd all be jumping around going, Edison, Fernandez and Scott. When you think about it, that's true. We wouldn't be doing that, would we? Don't worry, I'm not writing a note to run around my garden naked. Something else, wraps from the, I'm in fajitas later and I don't know why that came into the head there. So yeah, I think it's, Wharton's still a possibility, Ray, as well. But I think if you'd said to me at the start of the transfer window, we're going to get Edison, Fernandez and Scott, I'd have said, I actually like all three, but I don't like that balance. And so, you know, sometimes it's like saying, tonight on your dinner plate, you've got lasagna, baked beans and tomato soup. I like all three, but together that's horrible. So, you know, in like you can like things, but when you put it together, go, that's not the right balance, you know? So it's like tomato ketchup on your ice cream. I like both, but together that doesn't work for me. So I think if you said to me Edison, Fernandez and Scott, I like all three players, but that's not the right window for me. That's not the right window. It's too inexperienced with Mainoo. That's too inexperienced. There's no marquee signing there either. Where's the Casemiro replacement? It's the sort of thing Chelsea would do, if I'm being honest. It's a little bit inexperienced. And I know Edison's going to be 27, but he's not Premier League experience, is he? So I think that I would have concerns about that being our midfield three. But what I think we absolutely have to do in the next week or two is secure Scott or Fernandez to give us a little bit of breathing space. We don't have to have all three midfielders by the end of June. I've heard some people say, go and get Scott and Fernandez now. I actually disagree. Again, balanced bridge. I disagree with that. I don't think we need to go out and go, let's get Scott and Fernandez. I really don't. I think let's get one in the bag and then hit early June and go, well, you know, is there anything we can do around somebody else? You know, is there anything we can do around Tchouaméni? Now, I know that's interesting, but, apparently Edison's been used at right back by Carlo Ancelotti. Beth just sent me that. Filling in, because that's the player that he's replaced for. So, look, I think with Fernandez, looking at the news coming in this morning, Romano saying that he's definitely been discussed at Real Madrid. I have to acknowledge that's a bit of a concern. I said last night that I felt that the Real Madrid stuff was Jorge Mendes just touting him around to get the best possible deal from Man United. We've obviously spoken to Jorge Mendes, but if Mourinho, I mean that to me, I don't know whether that's just amazing or scary that Mourinho is actually name checking Matheus Fernandes for Real Madrid. It's just not a Real Madrid signing. I don't think many Real Madrid fans would be excited by that, but they maybe see him as one for the future. I don't know. I don't even know whether he'd start for Real Madrid either. So look, maybe there's a bit of competition with Fernandes. Maybe there isn't. Maybe we're really advanced. We're not, but maybe we can be in the future. But I also think the update around Scott's very interesting. I want to talk about Alex Scott for a moment because I'm a big fan of his. I really think he's a very cultured midfielder who is ready to take the next step. He's obviously available now to talk to because he's leaving England. He's been part of the England squad as one of the standby players, but the World Cup starts today. That's football, 8 o'clock. We'll be live at 7 tonight because I'm doing Mexico at 8. But he'll be flying back to the US, to the UK now, or heading on holiday. So he's not going to be part of the World Cup. So now is the time to get into him. Bournemouth are desperate to get him to sign a new contract. They're valuing him at £80 million. He's only got 2 years left on his contract. Basically, if we go to Scott and say, we want you as a midfielder for Man United next season, we've only got Edison, you're our next signing, and he says yes, you can get that done quite quickly. I don't know what the competition is for Scott. There is some talk of Liverpool, but right here, right now, there's not a lot of talk. So I think he is a player to push on really, really quickly. I think we probably do prefer Fernandez, but I think with Fernandez, there's a lot of bullshitters out there who've been saying, oh, it's really advanced. Oh, we're really talk. They're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. With Fernandez, there's clearly West Ham saying,
Well, I don't think even West Ham have got, I don't think West Ham have got a bloody CEO or a director of football at the moment. So West Ham are sort of like saying, whoa, slow down, which doesn't help us. And then they're going, slow down, and everyone else come and have a look as well. So that West Ham are dictating that story. And it, at the moment, until they want to speed that story up, there's not a lot we can do. But I think Scott is something that we can move on. But I absolutely agree with what I said at the start. We're not bidding on Anderson, who we've told the world we wanted for a year. We're not bidding on Tonali, who I think is just there saying, come and get me. I know it's not news, but in this community, I'm just going to say it. Tonali is sat there as one of the best midfielders in Europe, a perfect replacement for Casemiro in relation to experience. 26, steps into that midfield with aura, experience and quality. He's literally sat there and we're not doing anything about it at the moment. And we won't do anything about it because he's too expensive, apparently. So Anderson's off at the moment. Tonali's off at the moment. We're not running out, but the options are becoming smaller. I think we need to move on something. I don't think we can monitor. I mean, answer me this. What were we doing with Elliot Anderson for the last month? You know, when all the top journalists were saying we're monitoring Elliot Anderson, what were we actually monitoring? Man City were bidding. They were sorting out personal terms. What were we waiting? Someone said it last night. Were we actually waiting for the court case? Was that what we were hoping for? Because we've not put a bid in. We've not made any effort. We've just sat there and gone, we're not paying that, and he wants to go to City. So what were we monitoring? Like, we were waiting for a meteor to hit the Etihad or something. Like, what were we waiting for? I don't know. I don't actually know what we were waiting for. Maybe we were waiting for the court case. I don't know. But look, we have to move on. I'm not happy about it. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing to lose out to Man City. I think it's embarrassing not to get involved in bidding wars. I think it's embarrassing that we'll only go for players that say, I want to come to Man United. I find that absolutely laughable. I think it appeals to the fan that, you know, thinks that these owners actually give a shit. Wow, yeah. We only want players who want to play for Man United. The owners are right. Oh, what, the same owners who are knocking down our spiritual home? The same owners that have whacked us into a load of debt? The same owners that rip you off to make money? Yeah, bang your chest to that, bollocks. They're not serious, mate. They're taking the piss out of you. If you're sat there this morning going, I agree with the owners. Oh, we only want players who want to play for Man United. At what point have these owners ever shown any interest in what Man United's all about? They're playing you. They're playing you like a bloody fiddle. How do we make this fan base agree with us being shit at transfers? Well, I've got a great idea. Let's just say we only want players who want to play for United. United. Yeah, that's a great idea. You can have a pay rise. How will we pay for that? We'll get the fans to pay for it. They're stupid. So look, I'm not buying this whole nonsense of we only want players that want to play for Man United. It appeals to the... I'll be blunt. I think it appeals to morons because that's not what you do. That's not how you're successful. When Eden Hazard was leaving France to come to the Premier League, it was Man United, Man City and Chelsea. In 2026, if that scenario happened, we'd pull out. No, we're not having a bidding war. If he doesn't want to come to us, forget it. Now, I know we didn't win, but we tried. He went to Chelsea, but we did try. With good players, you have to try. They're very rarely going to go, I only want Man United. You know, if the next Wayne Rooney comes along and he's at Everton and he's 18, in the current market, we were lucky with Rooney because Rooney, we were a massive club at that time and Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge. So we could push our way to the front and fight for him and go, we're Man United. Same with Roy Keane. When he got relegated with Forest, one of the best midfielders up and coming in the Premier League, we broke the British transfer record, but we barged Blackburn Rovers out at the last minute because we were a big club. You imagine if another Roy Keane comes along now, or maybe it's Elliot Anderson. You imagine if another Wayne Rooney comes along now, we won't bid. We won't sign the next Roy Keane. We won't sign the next Wayne Rooney. We won't sign the next Rio Ferdinand because we will go, unless they say what they want Man United, we're not going to bid for them. Look at our history. Look at other clubs' history. Did Declan Rice say, I only want to go to Arsenal? No, they fought to make him want to go to Arsenal. You cannot compete at the highest level in the modern world, especially where we are. We're at the bottom of the mountain now. We're not even at the top. You cannot compete for the best players by going, we're not bidding unless you say you want to come to us. What an incredibly crap way of recruiting players. You have to be competitive. You've got to knock on the door and go, I know you're interested in Madrid. I know you're interested in Arsenal. And I know you're interested in us. This is why you want to come to us. We want to bid for you. We're going to fight for you. If you don't fight for something, you're not going to get it, are you?
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
It's crazy. But look, I don't like this approach. I don't like it at all. But there is still time to get things done. And ultimately, in a year's time, if we're winning the league with Fernandez, Edison and Scott, it's job done. If in a year's time, you know, we're in fifth place and Man City are winning the league with Tonali and Anderson, the point's been proven, hasn't it? We'll have to wait and see. Elliot says, I dislike the approach from the owners saying we only want players who want to play for us. We're bloody Man United. Any player should want to come. Elliot, I can't keep going on about it, but I'm absolutely stunned that they've put that out. It really terrifies me how ridiculously stupid that is to put that out there and think fans are going to applaud it. It's like we're not going to bid for anybody unless they say they want to come to Man United. The whole point... The bidding process makes them want to come because it shows you how much you want them. You know, if you're not, I'm not saying we should have done it, but imagine with Fernandez, right? Real Madrid offer 75, PSG offer 75, and United say, yeah, we're not going to bid because you haven't said you want to come to Man United. But if we offer 75, you might say, well, you've proven that you want me. I want to come there. What about the player that when you bid goes, they've shown they want me. I want to go there. Was it something I said, says Keel? I knew you'd be in the chat, thank you. Sean Turner, hope you're doing very well, sir. He says, I do honestly think Fernandez has a higher ceiling than Anderson. We aren't getting Anderson, so they need to get Fernandez and Tonali. Sean, I don't disagree with you, and I hope that you're right. I think there's an irrelevance to it in a sense, because Fernandez's ceiling is irrelevant because we don't need ceiling players. We need players that are ready now, feet on the ground. I said this last night. Maybe Fernandez will be a better player than Anderson in a couple of years, but what happens in the next 2 years while we're waiting? Like, we need, Casemiro was ready to go. We need players that are ready to go. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm misinterpreting the room here. But I didn't think that the next 2 years was about what somebody can be in 2 years' time. I mean, I had heard that Berardi wants to win the league next year. I had thought next year was about getting close to the top two and being back in the Champions League. I didn't know it was another project of players coming in who could be the next this, that and the other, you know. Daniel says, hope everyone's well. I agree. I ranted on X last night about United and replies were, how are you paying for players and top quality? I'd pay whatever it is. Credit to the community, says Daniel. Well, you know what? The thing is, I heard, I think Beth tweeted it out this morning and she said, look, so this is what she said. 50 million for Ugarte when we wanted João Neves. 40 million for Van der Beek when we wanted prime Grealish. 70 million for Rasmus when we should have got Kane. The list goes on. That's why I'd pay for Anderson. And I think that's, you know, obviously you'll find holes in that. You'll also find, you know, appreciation with something like that. But there is that problem with United where, you know, Mourinho wanted Perisic for 45 million when he was about 27. United said, no, we're not going to pay. And we didn't get anyone and he was sacked by Christmas. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer did want Grealish over Van der Beek. We're not going to pay. We end up with another flop. Whoever the manager was at the time did want João Neves over Ugarte. Well, we're not going to pay for it. We're going for Ugarte. Rasmus, Kane, I don't think Kane was ever realistic, but we went for an expensive, inexperienced striker over an expensive, experienced striker. We have made this mistake a lot of times where, let's say there's a player for 100 million, we're not spending that, so we buy a flop for 60. Let's say there's a player for 70 million, we're not spending that, so we buy a flop for 40. You know, we have made this mistake. And I've got to be honest, I do sort of agree with people when they say, you know, if it's the player we want, it means they're well scouted. It's worth the risk of spending a little bit more than dropping down a level and overpaying on somebody else. And look, Fernandez is overpriced. Lewis Hall will be overpriced. Scott will be overpriced. Enjai will be overpriced. Belaba will be overpriced. Everybody's going to be overpriced now because the price of Anderson is going to inflate the market. He's a £100 million player. He's going to go for 120. That is an increase on his price of 15%. So everyone's just going to add it on. So we'll end up paying it for whoever we go for. John says, I don't get why we don't at least bid. Even if we don't get him, it could force City to pay more. That alone seems like smart business. John, we're not bidding. If you want my opinion, for what it's worth, we're not bidding for Anderson because he wants City. We're not bidding because we don't want to pay. You know, who do you trust here? Do you trust me saying they're not bidding because they don't want to pay that price? Or do you trust them, we're not bidding because he hasn't said he wants Man United? Do you really think we want to bid 100 million plus and give him 250 grand a week? They don't want to bid. They can put it out there that they're not bidding because he hasn't said, I want Man United. But why would you say that? They're not bidding because they don't want to bid. Why are we not bidding for Tonali then? He's perfect. Because Tonali hasn't come out and said he wants Man United. I'm pretty sure Tonali would sign for Man United. But we won't bid for Tonali either. So this is financial. They don't want to pay anybody over 200 grand a week. And they don't want to spend over 80 million on anyone. So Fernandez is perfect because it'll be less than 80 and it'll be on 150 grand or less. We are buying players on parameters now. No one over 80 million, no one over 200 grand a week. And unless, prove me wrong, but that's my interpretation of it. I prefer Anderson, Fletcher over Belaba and Scott. Fletcher, God. I mean, look, I hope Fletcher ends up being a good player, but I'm not relying on youth. We need three ready-to-go midfielders. I don't want Thwaites, Fletcher, Ugarte staying, Mount in the midfield. That's bullshit. And I hope Fletcher ends up being a good player, but he's a young player. He's a bonus player. And we could do with five midfielders anyway. We could have Mainoo, Edison, Anderson, Fernandez and Fletcher. Five midfielders is fine, but he can't be one of the four. Morning, Mark. Loving the morning shows recently. I do hope you realise we're only going to buy one more midfielder. Writing's on the wall. I hope you're wrong on that, Buster. I hope you are wrong, because I'll be very pissed off if that's the case. I'd rather quality over quantity, says Bradley. Just get big, go Anderson, Tonali and Hall. I'm going to talk about Hall in a minute, Bradley. Vitinha, Neves was inexperienced. They won two Champions League. Don't get the inexperienced take. It's not about marquee. It's about getting the right profile, says Gaz. Well, if you don't get the inexperienced thing, mate, do you want me to start writing a list of players that we bought that have been inexperienced that hasn't worked out? Memphis, Rasmus, Yoro, Anthony. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on of inexperienced players that we buy and it doesn't work out. Massive list. We need, if Casemiro is going, you need to replace him with experience. The reason Cunha and Mbeumo have done relatively well is because they're experienced. Sancho, another one as well. I know we need to be in for big players. With Anderson, we are waiting our time. Apart from the stupid price, he wants a City move. Move on, says Marcus. But why? Why does he want a City move? Let's not move on. Why does he want to choose City over his mate? I'd love to know the answer to that. And the answer to that actually is we're shit at negotiations. He's chosen City over us because we're crap at negotiations. An important point, says Patrick. Some of the lower end targets are not totally bad players, but moving down the list means they accept less because it's better for business than for football. That's failure, says Patrick. Craig says, I hate the board like you, but we are right to walk away from Anderson. There is better business we can do. Ben said 80 million in January. Price has changed. Craig, I disagree with you. Sorry, mate. Respect, but I disagree with you. So walk away because Anderson's price has gone up by 20 million and then go and spend 20 million over the top for Fernandez. I don't see a difference. All these people saying we should walk away because Anderson's overpriced. Fernandez is literally overpriced by 20 million as well. Scott has been overpriced by 20 million as well. People just aren't using their heads. Everybody's overpriced now. So Anderson for 120 million, I'm not going to spend it. He's 20 million overpriced. Fernandez for 80, I'll spend that. Everybody's overpriced now, Craig. Everybody's overpriced. Hi, Mark. Love the show. Thoughts on 25 million buyback clause for Kambwala? He was out for a while ACL, but could be the cheap defender we need. No, not for me, David. Not for me. I want, you know what it is, David? I want to avoid risks. Now, there's some interesting stuff coming out about Lewis Hall this morning. A couple of interesting sources talking about Lewis Hall. I think one was in the Manchester Evening News. I do think Lewis Hall is an intriguing one. We're not going to do any business with Newcastle involving midfielders. We're not going to go for Tonali. We're not going to go for Bruno Guimarães. So if we're going to do any business with Newcastle, I think it will be Lewis Hall. Now, again, it's a difficult deal. You can't make Newcastle rush on a player they probably don't want to sell. And Elliot Anderson's price is going to boost him up as well. We were laughing about 70 million the other day. I think that's probably what Newcastle are going to ask for. And they're going to say, well, if Elliot Anderson's going for 120, we want 70 for Lewis Hall. So I do think Lewis Hall is a possibility if he asks to move. But the price, again, I think Lewis Hall would be somewhere between 50 and 60. It's probably gone up to 60, 70 now. So again, the way I feel this morning is it's really difficult, really difficult. And I did a video on this on That's Football 2 days ago. The market's gone crazy. Real Madrid offering 150 million for Alvarez is 90, tops. Elliot Anderson for 120 is 100 million pounds, really. I think the market's so inflated, and we are run by people who are businessmen. They won't, you know, maybe when you've got an owner like Man City, even Arsenal, Liverpool bought two players for over 100 million last year. Chelsea, certainly. Maybe you're not going to panic, but with our owners, they literally will not pay it. So Lewis Hall's a possibility, but not if Newcastle whack a stupid price on. And I don't mind walking away from Branthwaite for 70 million, because that's stupid money. And I don't mind walking away from Baleba for 100 million or 80 million, because that's stupid money. But I don't really like walking away from players that are perfect for us. Like Lewis Hall would be perfect for us. Yes, 70 million is a lot of money, but he is perfect for us. 120 million for Anderson is a lot of money, but I believe he's perfect for us. That's what bothers me. I think people go walk away. And there is a lot of circumstances where you should walk away. But I don't think you should walk away if you think it's the right player. And we might have to do that. If we don't get Anderson, the board needs to be accountable, says Ashley. Well, they're not accountable for anything, are they? No one knew what City bid a few days. Now we're announcing the world Fernandes is our next must-have while West Ham lower their price, says Roosh. We want Premier League proven and say they're overpriced. Only Tchouaméni is outside England. Scary. I see this transfer window. We focus too much on midfield and forget the other areas, says Seth. Fernandes may get pushed to tier one, which is worrying. Yeah, we spoke about this last night, Aman, and I just don't think it's a good move to promote him to the number one signing. Look, I like Fernandes, but there are limitations to his game currently where it will probably take a year or two for those areas to develop. And he's not particularly defensive. So how would Fernandes and Mainoo work as a midfield two? I mean, that's the big question as well. Do Mainoo and Fernandes work as a midfield two? On last season, they don't. They don't complement each other very well defensively. So we want Fernandes, but him and Mainoo don't actually look like they'd work that well together defensively. Hi, Mark. I love your content. Wait, why stay optimistic about the window if it always disappoints and protest ends with nothing happening, says Jay. Barada and Wilcox must still be working for City, says Melper. Are they not tapping them up before they bid, says Robert. I don't think tapping up even exists, Robert, anymore. Hi, Mark. Would Scott, Edison and Fernandes not do? No. We've spoke about that long. For me, that it might do now, but it wouldn't. If you'd have said that to me at the start of the window, I'd have said, what the hell is that? And I like, as I said, I like all three players, but I'm not having that. If you'd have said to me that's our midfield three at the start of the summer, I'd have said, we're going to be in the Champions League. We're going to be playing two games a week. That's not really good enough, I don't think. Not for me. But look, maybe some people are okay with it. And what I would say is, it's it's better than signing Baleba. But look, what we mustn't do, and I think this is really important, we can all be passionate and we must all have our opinions. But I wouldn't say I'm sat here going, it's over, it's crisis, it's panic time. It's disappointment on a certain level. You know, maybe a week ago, my optimism for the window was a 9. I'm probably dropping to an 8 now. We need a new hotometer slide, don't we? But, you know, we almost need a slide for my optimism for the transfer window. And what's your optimism for the transfer window as well? I think a week ago, after the signing of Ederson, I was probably, you know, I'm always going to be overexcited. I accept that. But I was probably at a 9. I'd say it's dropped to a 7 now. You know, there's still optimism and it can still climb. But I am seeing similar patterns of incompetence, you know, and our major targets going to our arrival. And on top of that, we're getting incredibly crap updates from our club who are meant to be leaders, who are talking shit about we're not going to get in bidding wars and we're not going to go for players unless they say they want Man United. I mean, that to me is the most... I'm more disappointed about United's reaction to it than missing out on Elliot Anderson. I've seen Man United miss out on Vidal. I've seen United miss out on Haaland. I've seen Man United miss out on Ronaldinho. I've seen Man United miss out on Eden Hazard. You know, I've seen Man United miss out on many, many good players over the years, and it's not the end of the world. Trust me, there's always somebody else. But it's the reaction of the club to it. I'd rather they said nothing than say, we won't get involved in bidding wars. How many times in the last week have we heard from credible journalists, Man United don't want to get involved in bidding wars? Why? Can we have an answer to that, please? Because, hello, as a Man United fan, I would love to know why we don't want to get in bidding wars. Why? Why don't we get in? It can only, you know, and I don't think we do this enough. Why? Why don't you want to do bidding wars? Because you're tight twats who put us into debt. That's why. You don't want to do bidding wars because it costs more money. We're running the football club like a fucking bank again, aren't we? You don't want to do bidding wars because it costs more money. That's the bottom line. And you're trying to spin it and make the fans agree with you because by saying we don't want to do bidding wars unless because we want them to say they only want us, so there's no bidding war. Well, that's bullshit. And that's what's disappointed me. More than the Elliot Anderson thing. I mean, I think Elliot Anderson's very good. I'd love him at Man United, but there are other options. I mean, if we didn't get Anderson and we got Tonali, I'd be happy. If we didn't get Anderson and we got Tchouaméni, I'd be happy. But it's the bidding war shit that annoys me the most. I cannot stand a football club that isn't behaving like a football club because we weren't opposed to doing a bidding war with Rooney. We weren't opposed to doing a bidding war with Roy Keane. We weren't opposed to doing a bidding war with Sesko last year. Or did we do a bidding war with Sesko? I don't think we did. I think Newcastle wanted him. And I think Sesko said, I want Man United. But, you know, that's easy. Arsenal didn't want Sesko. Real Madrid didn't want Sesko. Barcelona didn't want Sesko. Man City didn't want Sesko. Newcastle wanted Sesko. Yeah, we want you. Yeah, I don't want to go to Newcastle. It's very easy to go for players when you're the big horse. What I don't think it's bidding wars we don't want to get involved in. I don't think we are capable of going toe to toe with big clubs. I don't think it's bidding wars. I don't think it's the expression of interest. We don't want to go toe to toe with bigger clubs than us because we'll lose. Semenyu, we lost. Anderson, we're going to lose. It's an advert for get deals done early, says Roy Law. Yeah, well, I think this is a great point, Roy, as well. And again, we're sort of talking about a great point from last night. 12 months we've known about this transfer window. 12 months we've known Casemiro was going to go. Here we are sat in the middle of June and we're sort of finger up our arse going, where next? We certainly didn't come into this transfer window with a plan. And I don't think Ederson was a plan. Because Ederson could have signed for Atletico Madrid in January and we were nowhere near it. So I don't think we actually came into this window with a midfield plan. I don't think we came into the window. And what I mean by that is I don't think we came into this window having spoken to players and they'd agreed to come. And trust me, that happens a lot. That happens a hell of a lot with players where You speak to them in February and March and they say, I will come. And then you get the deal done. You know, think about Erling Haaland. He signed for Man City in like early May, didn't he? We signed Memphis Depay in April. Cunha was done in April. So we clearly didn't come into this transfer window with our midfielders lined up, which is quite surprising with such a long preparation period. Which is why I say we've got to start moving quickly on what we want. I don't know that we know what we want at the moment. It feels like we're in the shop going, ooh, 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 but we're not actually doing anything about it. You did the same with Neves and Ugarte, and now it's Scott, says Meet the Bad Boy. Yeah, but I'm not the director of football, mate. I like the way you self-project your frustration and aggression onto me. I'm not the director of football. I'm not the CEO. I'm just a fan like you. I don't take responsibility for signing Ugarte. I don't take responsibility for signing Yoro. I'll back players when we sign them and I'll give an opinion, but I don't have access to all the stuff they have access to. I'm not involved in the deal. So don't ever try and project failures and flops onto fans who have an opinion, because we're not in the boardroom, mate. So it doesn't work. I know we're the biggest and the best community in the world, and well done to all of you. But we don't buy the players. We're not sat in the boardroom. We're not told what the budgets are. We're not told what's doable. So we can't be blamed for it because we don't do the business. If I'm on the wage that Wilcox is on, I'll take responsibility, but I'm not.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Let's not get carried away. Transfer window not open yet, says Razzler. Transfer window has always come up with surprises in the past. Let's not create hysteria. Well, let's do what we want, mate. Let's have a debate. Let's have a conversation, because it's not about the transfer window being open, is it? It's about having five targets: Anderson, Tonali, Tchouaméni, Scott, Fernandez. It's about having five targets and two of them being down already. So your transfer window might not be open, but those people who are frustrated, I've got to say, I understand, because it's not about when the window opens. If the window opens in 2 weeks and all the players have gone, what are you going to say? Let's not panic. All the players have gone, mate. So two players out of the five we want are gone. And Tchouaméni might be gone as well, because if Madrid don't sell, he's gone. So three out of the five could be gone already. And Fernandez's price is ridiculous. And Scott might sign a new contract. They could all be gone. So I agree with you, Razzler. I'm not panicking. There's plenty of time, but we've got to start moving, because they could all be gone very quickly. And then where do you go? I don't know. Clubs know that United is desperate for midfielders. United will end up overpaying Fernandez if they get him. Still baffling why Stiller isn't being looked at. I hope that doesn't happen, Vishal, but you do make a good point. If clubs know that we're desperate, it is problematic. And look, I don't want to say this. I'm sure West Ham aren't watching. But if I'm West Ham, I'm like, I know I will sell Fernandez for at least 60. So I'm saying to the board, look, we're definitely going to achieve 60 million for Fernandez. No one's going to not sign him. He's too good that on the end of August, everyone just walks away. So as long as we cash 60 million pounds by the end of August, we may as well try and get more. They're in a great position. It's like having a house on the market and knowing it will sell on September the 1st, but you've got 3 months to try your luck. So your house could be worth 250 grand, yeah? You know it will sell for 250 grand, but you have a chat with the estate agent and he says, in this market, I'd actually put it on at 400. It's nearly double. Trust me, there's a lot of buyers. This is a nice house. Put it on at 400. We'll try it for a couple of months. And if it doesn't achieve what we achieve, we can always knock it down to 250. But I guarantee you, someone will offer 350. And I think that's what West Ham are going to do. They're going to go, we know we'll achieve 60, even if it's at the end of August. Let's try for higher. And also, we know Man United are desperate to buy a house. They're renting, their tenancy's up, they need to buy a house. So I don't think West Ham are going to make it easy for us. And I think Vishal makes a great point. they know we're desperate as well. And this is going to be very... Vishal makes an inadvertent great point as well. We're very accustomed to this. You know, 6 weeks on a deal, it takes a long time, right? I'm sat here this morning saying, we need to move. We need to move quickly on our second midfielder because time will go very, very quickly, especially with the World Cup on. But United might not think like that. United might do the whole, the window's not open. We're not going to panic. We're going to take our time. So, and we've still got bloody Rashford to resolve as well. Protests need to start back. Is having a laugh. You are having a laugh. No one's going to protest over transfers. Does the board understand that buying two midfield players instead of one great player is more of a risk, says Bradley? Anarud says, this lack of ambition could mean Bruno would think twice if a big offer comes in. The board are deluded to think we can win the title. Just in addition to that, Bruno's release clause is 57 million. I don't think anyone's going to offer it, but just to let you know, if somebody offers £57 million for Fernandes, they can talk to him. We can't do anything about it. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's nothing we can do if someone hits the release clause. I read something this morning that UEFA, it's not very common in the Premier League, but it is in Spain. UEFA want every single player to have a release clause in their contracts, and they want to bring legislation in for that. I think this is because Real Madrid have bid 150 million for Alvarez and they won't let him go. I don't know where I'd stand on that. I certainly don't think Elliot Anderson would be going for 120 million pounds if he had a release clause, because the release clause would be set in place when he signed his first contract. So he probably would have a release clause of about 80. Savage says it's a brilliant rule. It's got its pros and cons, because Fernandez's release clause would probably be 60. Alex Scott's release clause would probably be 60. Ng'Jai's release clause would probably be 50. Lewis Hall's release clause would probably be 55. So you know that you're not going to pay any more than that. The problem is, what about United? You know, we might have Mainoo as one of the best midfielders in the world, who, you know, has an amazing season, and his release clause is 60. So it can work both ways. Jed says, this ownership is an absolute disgrace. Duke Studio says, Fernandes is Fernandes' workhorse. Injury-free, flexible, progressive pass. He has a Bruno-esque style to me. Yes, I know those are big shoes. And Rory Jennings Football. Oh, I don't know whether... I think that might be the real Rory. It is the real Rory. He's got a tick next to it. He says, so obvious from the outside looking in, United need to gazump City and sign Anderson. Class player and the statement that would make you huge. Well, thanks, Rory. I don't know whether he's still watching, because it took me a while to work through some of these. But I do agree. I do agree with that. I completely agree with that. I don't agree with Rory's horrific take that Ronaldo won't score a goal in the World Cup, but I do agree with him on that, in the sense that if... And look, Rory's a Chelsea fan. And Chelsea, under Abramovich, won titles and Champions Leagues by doing this. You pay what it takes to get a player. How many times did Chelsea gazump someone at the last minute? Willian was going to go to, I think, Spurs, and they did it with him. They did it with a few others as well. So I think that, look, if you don't rate Anderson, you're going to disagree with this. I really do. I thought his performance at Old Trafford this season was incredible. And I think his performances this season have been fantastic. And he's been very good for England as well. I think he is the real deal. Now, if you don't think he's the real deal, I get it. I respect it. But I think he's the real deal. And I just think, all right, £120 million is a lot of money. But he's 23. You're going to get 7, 8, 9, 10 years out of him. It's not a lot of money for a player that's going to be there that long. I'm disappointed. You're my sunshine in my world, says Dermot Gallagher. Joey says, there's an argument if we have to buy 5 or 6 players this summer, are we in a position to pay that price, unlike a team who have to buy 2 or 3? Yeah, but Joey, this is where I disagree with you, because, again, I think you're making excuses for a football club that doesn't deserve it. We can't afford to spend £120 million on Elliot Anderson because we need quantity, not quality. Okay, so you're going to spend 80 on Fernandes. Who's the third midfielder then? Because you've spent £120 million on Fernandes and Edison. Who's your third midfielder? The budget, Anderson, Fernandes is not cheap. Scott isn't cheap. Nobody's cheap in this market. I personally, if I'm not getting Anderson, I'm going straight in for Tonali. But as I said to you today, I've got no news on that. But if I'm not getting Anderson, I'm going straight for Tonali. It's another £100 million player. You get what you pay for. If we go into July with a bit of panic and Tonali hasn't moved, I think Bruno G is still possible. We did try for a 29-year-old Watkins as a fifth choice, says Goldfridge. Dazzo says, I'd like Bruno Guimaraes. Everyone seems to forget these owners have destroyed the club. How is there not protests every week? We were giants in the game, like Madrid, says Dazzo. How the hell is City able to carry on as if the 115 never existed? Total joke at this stage. Potential signings don't seem to care either, says Having a Laugh. It's why I don't really talk about the 115 or Man City being guilty, because the behaviour and what they're allowed to do is very sus. You know, Semenyo, Gehi and now Anderson, they've literally spent over a quarter of a billion in 6 months if they get Elliot Anderson and handed out ridiculous wages. And you sort of like go, I don't know. I either they don't get found guilty, or if they do get found guilty, they'll get a 1 year transfer ban and a point deduction that doesn't relegate them. So they basically just miss out for a season. And they'll still be playing in the Champions League as well. They won't have a Champions League ban. Mateus Fernandes already better than Alex Scott, says Red Devil Girl. I disagree. I like Scott. I really do like Scott. I think he's a very good player. I think people are sleeping on Scott. I'd be very happy with Scott, but I wouldn't buy them both. We should not get belaboured because he had a bad season, but the season before he was superb. But we should get Anderson because of one good season. Make it make sense, says Gazzy. I make it make sense, Gazzy. It's really easy, actually, and we don't need to dwell on it. Belaba had a half-decent season the season before last and a total shit season this season. Elliot Anderson had an amazing season this season and half a good season the season before. Elliot Anderson was in the England squad last summer. How the fuck was he in the England squad if he only had one good season this year? I don't know where this myth that Elliot Anderson's only had one good season comes from. He was good the season before as well. That's how he got in the England squad. See what I mean? If people tell a lie long enough, people start to believe it. Scott's not similar to Mainoo at all. You clearly haven't watched him, J1. What about Sesko? He doesn't count for Ineos. He doesn't want United at first. He wanted Arsenal. Arsenal pulled out and we beat Newcastle 2-0, says Craig. Thank you very much for that. Have you seen the news regarding Sangare from Lens? I have, in the sense that I've seen people talking about it in the chat, but I've been answering all your very good comments and debate points before I've been and had a look at it. Man United are preparing an offer for RC Lens Mamadou Sangare, who would cost more than 40 million euros. This is coming in from a journalist for Foot Mercato in France. Bullshit. Yeah. Honestly, it's just another player that we're going to get linked to where nothing happens, really. Not every player is going to be a... Not every story is going to be a story that is true. 95% of transfer news involving Man United is bollocks. And we're not going to sign Sangare from Lens. Unless it's a Favel thing and everyone goes, we're going to listen to you, Favel. But Edison and Sangare as two of our three signings, it's too risky to bring in two players outside from the Premier League unless they're absolutely incredible. Just Better says Sangare's quality. I never said he wasn't. I never said he wasn't, but listen back to what I said. Edison's never played in the Premier League before. decent player, but elements of risk. Sangari's never played in the Premier League before. Decent player, but elements of risk. Mainoo's a kid. Straight away, 75% of your midfield is really inexperienced. So, you know, I guarantee we won't sign Sangari. Here we go. No. What's the best midfielder from the World Cup from a small country? Yeah, we're not doing that, Ken. I'm looking forward to the World Cup and there's lots of good players to watch. Player to watch tonight, by the way, Mora, Mexico, might not start, could be a future superstar. I think he's only 17, but I'm live on That's Football for that later. So I'm going to do that on all the watch-alongs, by the way. I'm going to give you players to watch and young players to watch and all that. It's not Mark's way or the highway, Thomas. It's called an opinion. And trust me, people have very different opinions. If it was Mark's way or the highway, then I'd be right on absolutely everything. And as people who were watching the show when Rashford went out on the piss in Belfast will know, I was telling everyone they were wrong. And I was wrong. And I have been wrong. So it's not how it works at all. What I'm saying is, I've been doing this long enough to know that 95% of stories involving foreign players is bullshit. We're always signing someone from Portugal, France, Spain, Italy, Turkey, and we never do. So, well, we don't, 95% of the time we don't. In my opinion, if we get Scott and Fernandez, we still haven't replaced Casemiro, and that scares me. We need at least one between Tonali and Tchouaméni, and this is a fact. Arshan, I think one of the big problems I have with signing inexperienced players this summer is they come into the club inexperienced. Man United's a massive football club. It will swallow you up and spit you out. I mean, remember Dubravka when he came in goal and the ball went back to him and he miskicked it? How many goalkeepers have gone between the sticks for Man United and absolutely shit themselves? I spoke to Ben Foster about this. He said, look, every club I played for, I felt confident. Man United, there's just something about that shirt that just makes you question everything. And that's Man United. It's a pressure cooker. Every second of every day, it's pressure, right? We bring inexperienced players in. There's no guarantee they're going to succeed anyway. But if you're inexperienced and you sign for Everton, it's easier to make it than it is at Man United. But Everton's not as good as Man United, but it's easier to make it at Everton because the pressure isn't the same. So if we bring a load of inexperienced players in, the chances of them all flopping is probably bigger than them all being successful. But on top of that, you bring inexperienced players in, they're working with an inexperienced set of coaches. Look, if I'm Matias Fernandez and I roll into Real Madrid and Jose Mourinho is my manager, it's a bit different to rolling into Old Trafford and Michael Carrick's my manager. No disrespect to Carrick. Let's hope he becomes the next Mourinho. But giving an inexperienced manager inexperienced players is hard on Carrick. But inexperienced players coming to work for an inexperienced Carrick is hard on them as well, which is why we need to sign at least one player that walks in and goes, I've got this. I've got this. I know what I'm doing. Because it helps Carrick and it helps them. So if you bring in a Tonali or a Tchouaméni, they can walk in the door and go, I've got this. It's really important, I think. That's why, for me, Edison, Scott, Fernandez and Mainoo, I look at it and I go, it's a lot of work, that. Lamont was a diamond in the rough, Neymar. He was. That's why I'm saying Fernandez is better than Anderson, says Meet the Bad Boy. Buy Fernandez, Lewis Hall and Danny Welbeck and call it our summer transfer window closed. God, that would not be good enough, Ajif. Arsenal did want Sesko, who's number one choice for them, and Newcastle. Sesko wanted Man United. Also, Tonali is bang average at best, not worth it. And that, my friends, is the worst Super Chat of 2026. Hang it in the Louvre. Absolutely horrific. I mean, I don't... How can you write three sentences and not get a word correct? That is absolute typing diarrhea. Arsenal wanted Sesko and he chose Man United over us, over them. Tonali's bang average at best. Yeah, mate, Sesko didn't turn down Arsenal for us. They chose Gyökeres over him, rightly or wrongly. And Tonali is not bang average. United bidding 110 million for Anderson is the kind of statement you need going into next season. Imagine the buzz that would bring. We need that. says Yabowie. Yeah, I mean, that's what Rory said. We don't have any interest in that, do we? We want to sell shirts. We want to sell tickets. We want to overcharge our fans for tickets. But there's absolutely no brain in that boardroom that goes, if we make a big, exciting marquee signing, the share price goes up, the shirt sales go up, and the ticket sales go up. Nobody's figured that one out at all. They've never figured it out. Ineos just haven't figured it out. The Glazers figured it out. The Glazers did it a few times. Pogba, Sancho, Sanchez. Ineos haven't figured that one out at all. The marquee signing and the impact on the feel around the club. They haven't figured that one out at all. Patrick says, the level of scrutiny at United is incredible. Look at how Pogba was treated versus Wirtz has been at Liverpool. United is a different level of pressure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Let me just tell you, the World Cup starts today. So we're live at 8 o'clock on That's Football Tonight for Mexico against South Africa. I can't bloody wait. The Azteca Stadium, Mexico. We haven't got any Man United players playing today, no. No, we will update you on United players on a daily basis. But my main point is the 8 o'clock show over the next few days is a little bit sporadic. So 10 o'clock show will stay the same. I will probably be quite tired on some of them, but United stand, this summer transfer window is huge and I can't miss it for sleep. So the 10 o'clock show will stay rigid and firm in position as a morning show. 10 o'clock every morning on the United stand. 2 o'clock in the afternoon will still be there. Predominantly, we've got Ben Jacobs. Ben Jacobs today is getting asked that question. What were you talking about, Ben, in November when you said the price for Anderson will be less than 80 million? We will be asking that question. And he knows we're going to ask that question. And it's a fair question to ask. Ben Jacobs is on at 2 o'clock. 8 o'clock show normally. Tonight, it will be at 7 because it's Mexico, South Africa at 8. Tomorrow, it will be 7 because Canada, Bosnia is at 8. Saturday night, it will be at 8 p.m. because Brazil, Morocco isn't till 11. Sunday night, it will be at 8 o'clock. Because Netherlands, Japan is 9 o'clock. So your next four nights, two will be at 7 o'clock, and then Saturday, Sunday will be at 8 o'clock. And then we'll tell you on Sunday what's happening there. You're absolute legends. Thanks for all your conversations. Is Ben Jacobs on today, says Razlet? Yes, he is. According to Sebastian Dennis, United want RC Lens, Mamadou Sangare. Yeah, according to my son, Sebastian, Manchester United are signing Chris Wood as well. So, yeah. I believe it when I see it. United bidding 100 have done that one as well. Absolute legends this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel, by the way. We're only 100 away from 268,000. Remember, when the news breaks, we go live. And this is the best place to be for it. All roads lead to belabor. Let's stay on a positive. It's World Cup day. I'm very excited about this. And let's hope United... I mean, look, as I said at the start of the video, it's time to bid. Not time for bed. United can't sleep on this window. They have got to start moving now. It's one thing to miss out on a player that you've wanted for 9 months and pretend that, you know, it's the right thing to do. You can't sit on a loss. You've got to move quick. See you all of it. Take care.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.